going on?
Hey, happy Mother's Day.
Yes, indeed. It is that time in May, and we celebrate our moms, and some of us are moms.
Some of us are moms. How do you feel about Mother's Day?
How do I feel about Mother's Day? I am pro Mother's Day. I'm going to take that stance.
Very good answer.
I appreciate mothers and all they have done around the world, and it's a good day to celebrate Mother's Day in May. Moms first, and then dads.
Yeah, dads. Dads.
Yeah, kind of goes by the wayside.
No, but, actually, I think it brings up the rear.
Yeah. Do you do a Mother's Day brunch? What do you do?
We do. Just everybody's very nice to me. There's nothing traditional.
What are you saying? 364 days out of the year, they are not nice to you?
Well, 363, because there's my birthday.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yes. So you get 2 days.
Yes.
Two holidays.
Let's just say everybody's nice for the most part, those other few hundred days, but those two particular days, people are much nicer.
Holidays.
Yeah. Holidays. Holidays.
I'm sure they've been called that before.
Many times.
Oh, I thought it was something really original.
Yes. Well, okay.
Well, happy holiday to you.
Thank you very much.
Our episodes that we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about Mother's Day favorite songs. And we had talked about Mother's Day, and I was just going to do mother songs, like generic mother songs that really have no tie into my mom or my history, you know, anything, you know, it's just like, oh, songs I like, you know, or, you know.
Mother songs are kind of lame.
Songs with mother in them. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. Either they're very worshipful, you know, I don't know.
Is that a word?
No, I don't think it is a word. Anyway, they're respectful of their moms, mm-hmm. which makes it just a horrible song. Or just maudlin. It's just
no one's talking shit about their mom in these songs.
No, well, no, and the ones that do, they're too sickly sweet. I mean, it's tough to swallow. And there's others that go the opposite direction. They're just blame mom for everything. like Pink Floyd building up the wall, and you know John Lennon's mother.
Oh yeah,
that's just like blame. You know,
I didn't even think about those, but
there's mom songs that are just like made me block out my feelings, and like
this is how I ended up the way I am.
Right. So there's those, and there's nothing like kind of in the middle. So anyway, what I'm getting at is I was very it gave me a nice little exercise to think about songs that tied into my mom and my life. So I'm going to apologize right now because there's a lot of cheesy songs, songs from the 70s when I was a kid that make me think of my mom.
Why do you have to apologize for that? Let's apologize because we're straying from the 80s and this is an 80s podcast, but I have... Of all my songs, I only have one from the 80s, so you're forgiven. And I doubt your songs are cheeseball, and especially if they're significant to you.
Okay. I'm actually looking forward to putting this together and then listening to it, and, you know.
I can't wait to hear yours.
And you.
Yeah. I'm wondering, now that you talk about the 70s, I'm wondering if there's any overlap. You know, sometimes we do have overlap when we do these specials, but I don't know if we're going to. I actually don't think so. From what you've told me about your parents, I'm guessing we probably don't have overlap.
Yeah, probably not. And I think there was one song where I thought, oh, maybe that Holly might talk about that song. So I'm not even going to bring that up. So let's start with a mom.
Okay. That's me.
That would be you.
Yeah. But I'm going to say there's probably going to be less song information and more personal information because these songs have had an impact on us because of our moms, or for me, because I am a mom.
Correct.
So I'm just putting that caveat on
I agree. Same thing.
And I just realized that this just dawned on me. I just had this thought while we were sitting here waiting to get started. And this was not on my original list, and I can't imagine why, because when I was a baby, I remember this song vividly. I was a baby, probably a toddler. And my mom said this song, I would belt out this song when I could barely talk. I didn't know what the words meant or anything. And it's Downtown by Petula Clark.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. which I love, and when I hear now, I just think of my mother, and I want to belt it out at the top of my lungs, I guess, like I did when I was a toddler.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
So shout out to Petulicon. Yes, yes, exactly.
When all the lights are low, right? Mm-hmm. I could just imagine a toddler singing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, simple. And I just read, though, as in my last minute prep for this. So this was composed by Tony Hatch.
Okay.
And he received an Ivor Novello Award for it in 1981. Does that seem weird? I know the song was redone. You know, Dolly Parton covered it. Other artists covered it. But I thought, that's a lot of years later.
Sometimes these national recognition awards, it takes lifetime achievement.
Yeah,
yeah. If the song has life or continues generation to generation, then they give it special accolades. So I'm sure that's what happened with this song.
I think it's a good one. I think I made a good choice. What do you have, Dave? What's your first mom song?
All right. Well, I'm going to go chronologically in order of when these songs made their appearance. My mom used to do these, I guess, Weird Al type parody song.
Awesome.
Just this one song. So she used to, whenever there was an anniversary or a birthday, it was to the tune of Hello, Dolly. So it would always be, Hello, Holly. Yes, Hello, Holly, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that seems to fit. Great.
So then with the women, you're looking great, Holly. You've lost weight, Holly. something like that. She had no musical ability whatsoever. But she sang these songs. I mean, the whole family has no musical ability whatsoever. So we'd all belt these off key. And she would give the lyrics out. She would pass out the lyrics. And so, we sang. Hello, Dave. You put on weight, Dave. The guys was always put on weight. They would look bad. The women would always look great.
Hello, Harry. Well, hello, Louie. It's so nice to be back home where I belong. You're looking swell, Manny, I can tell. Danny, you're still glowing, you're still crowing, you're still going strong. I feel the room swaying, for the band's playing one of my old favorite songs from way back when. So bridge that gap, fellas, find me an empty lap, fellas, Dolly'll never go away again.
Yeah, this was a song, it was from 1964, and of course, Carol Channing sang it originally, and Louis Armstrong, I think he had it went to number one, actually.
Did it really?
Yeah, I looked on that, I think, it did very well. The Louis Armstrong version did well. Whenever I hear Hello, Dolly, I think of my mom because of her.
That's really sweet. I think that's sweet.
Yes, it is.
Is it a tradition you want to carry on with your own family?
Not at all.
I mean, you could pick another song.
I could. As I mentioned, we just cannot carry a note.
Yeah.
And it's just we try to, it's just like as a teenager, it was tough to sing, sing these songs.
Yes.
Mom, why are you making me sing this song?
Now, because 40 years later, you get to talk about it on a podcast.
There you go. So hello, Holly. Yes, hello, Holly.
Oh, you got the intonation.
Yes, it's still in me. All right, so there you go. On to what you have. You got? I know you didn't organize your notes. That's why I'm just doing it chronologically.
I did, but I'm rethinking it on the fly, like I find myself doing a lot.
Okay.
Because I just added that song, that last song, so now I have too many songs to cram into one episode.
That's fine.
My next one.
Okay.
This is the first, really the first artist. I remember my parents had, they were very hip and, granola-y and just cool. My parents were very cool. They didn't recognize it at the time. This is the first song I remember in my house. It's from 1974. Singing, like, my parents had seemed to have Gordon Lightfoot on an endless loop. This song is Sundown, which I guess is probably his, it did go to number one here. It's not always about the lyrics for me. Sometimes it's just, you know, the tune. And this just reminds me of my parents.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care. If I find you've been creeping round my back stairs.
So many songs in the 70s. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm a great songwriter. I think Dylan.
Prolific songwriter. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
In Bob Dylan's book, he specifically cited Gordon Lightfoot as a great lyricist.
Yeah. Well, he is. His storytelling is phenomenal. A record of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he still plays. He still plays around. And I've been tempted to take my dad to see him.
Oh, that would be great.
You should.
Oh, there's a Father's Day gift.
But I don't want him to be let down. You know, I mean, his voice can't be. He's in his 70s. You know, is his voice going to be? I guess it doesn't really matter because it's the sentiment.
He will hear it in his way he remembers. Your dad will hear it the way he remembers it,
yeah.
I think.
Any Gordon Lightfoot, but I'm choosing Sundown because it's the one that stands out in my mind the most. And I can hear my parents around the table singing it.
This was his only number one.
Yeah.
Record of the Edmund Fitzgerald hit number two. If You Can Read My Mind was reached number five. And Carefree Highway reached number 10.
That's another one. I love that. I love these. I love Gordon Lightfoot. This was an era. So 1974. So, you know, as we've talked about, I've always been obsessed with radio. But in 1974, so it was, you know, young, I was listening to pop. I was listening to 93KHJ.
Mm-hmm.
So these songs I was getting at home. I wasn't yet listening to KMET or KLOS where one might have heard these songs. So this is the only place I was hearing them. And it was different than, you know, what, Disco Duck?
Yeah.
I was listening to on KHJ.
But So
Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, we all grew up on AM radio first.
Yeah. So, all right. So give me another one.
All right. This is a funny song from 1968. My parents bought this single for me for a specific reason, and it's by Michelle Lee. It reached number 52. It's the actress Michelle Lee, who you remember from Knots Landing.
Knots Landing.
Yes, and Herbie the Love Bug, which I remember it from. The song is called L. David Sloan, and this was a single. I know, you're giving me big eyes.
I do not remember this song.
Nobody does. But it was L, the initial. You know how my email is an initial? That's my middle name. It's kind of an homage to L. David Sloan.
Wait, is David your middle name?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is just...
Yeah.
Because you're C. David, right?
Yeah. C. David. And this was L. period David Sloan with an E at the end.
Okay.
But...
What's the significance?
I think it was the first single that was bought for me.
No, but of the song. I mean, is it about somebody? Was it about...
No, it's about... Well, Michelle Lee is just this... She's trying to break up with this guy, and he won't leave her alone. And, you know, she's just trying to leave him. But
this would be a scary story these
I mean,
days.
It's just... I think they bought me a single. Of course, I'm, you know, 2 years old or whatever. And, you know, I played it, and I broke the
record. Was it a 45?
Yeah, it was a 45. Yeah. It was broken. So I was never able to find it ever again. But, of course... Fortunately, there's the internet, and I was able to locate it. It was on a CD compilation of the worst singles of all time.
Oh.
But, I mean, it's so 60s, and it's just, bop, 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 bop. You know, they're like those, like, it's super 60s. You know, and Michelle Lee singing, L. David Sloan, Leave Me Alone, Be a Really Big Man for Once in Your Life.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this.
L.
David Sloan. Leave me alone. I'm begging for a chance to forget you, so maybe I can start anew. L. David Sloan. Stay off the phone. I'm at a point where my resistance can be destroyed by your insistence. L. David Sloan, give me a break. Save a girl a heartache. Let me learn to hate you. Let me tear your letters before I ever read them. And when the phone is ringing, let me walk away and laugh.
It's a horrifying song. It's not good. But I bought the compilation. I never bought the actual single again. But it was...
That's very... Wow.
Yeah, this was a thing. It was an actual song that I actually broke as a kid. So.
From where? Not from wear and tear? Or that you were...
No. I think I physically broke it because I was, 2 years... Here, Dave, here's something for you. What is it? what you do when you're 2 or 3 years old. Yeah. You've got to break things.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, it only made it up to, 50... What was it? 52 on the chart, so... Okay. Not a lot of people remember it. All right, handing it off to you.
So I, in my house in the 70s, my parents listened a lot to the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac. And also, as we've previously discussed, which I guess there's a lot of that today, if my parents hadn't listened to this stuff when I was growing up, I'm not sure where or when I would have heard it. I'm sure I would have discovered it on the radio, but my passion for it, I think, grew because of them. So I felt like I had to choose records and songs, but I guess I don't really have to. I can just tell you, for Fleetwood Mac, I chose Rumors, the album Rumors, but the song Dreams from 1977, because that was the most, it went to number one. The song went to number one. But it also, I think that's what you think of when you think of Rumors. What song do you think of? Dreams? or you don't think of it at all?
No, I think of it a lot, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on in that album that I think about, Yes, of course. Still is. So
it is a great album. I mean, it's probably an all the way through perfect album.
Yeah. There's some wonderful things on it. But yeah, but Dreams was the one song that you gravitated to. That was, I think that was my first exposure to Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And it's funny. I had originally chosen from Eagles, Desperado. The song Desperado from the album Desperado, 1973. But the more I think of it, because that reminds me of my mom. There's so much to be said about that. Not that the Seinfeld episode. Do you remember the Seinfeld episode?
Don't.
You do not remember the Seinfeld episode?
Brett, is everything all right? What is it? Is there someone outside?
Playing the song.
Oh, phew. For a minute there, I thought it was like that urban legend about the guy with the hook who's hanging on the fender.
Elaine, could you just not talk for 1 minute?
Sorry.
That song just makes me think of my mother. My mom, just Eagles and Fleetwood Mac, when I think about my mom, who passed away 5 years ago. This is their biggest contribution to my musical taste and knowledge and appreciation. Rumors and Hotel California.
That was a 1-2 punch right there. Both of those albums. That's all you heard on 93 KHJ. Track after track after track. Yeah. Every song on both of those albums are iconic.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many. Hey, Hotel California, I think, is a perfect album also.
Yeah. Lyrically, not appropriate. Family
thing. Listening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Rumors, breakups, Hotel California, decadence.
Okay,
So
I'm like 10 to 15 years old. I wasn't really thinking about lyrics at all, as previously discussed. Sometimes even now I don't think about the lyrics. I'm just singing the song.
Right. No, I agree. As we'll go down the list of things, of songs that were not appropriate that we sang along to.
There's an episode in itself, inappropriate songs that we loved as children.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Give me another one.
We're going to 1972. This is the first movie-going experience I think I remember. Like actually going to a movie, sitting down with my mom to see this movie, and it just blew my mind and still does to this day. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the song Candyman. The version sung by Aubrey Woods is the one that resonates with me because that was my first exposure. Like watching him probably going to the store, and this guy, the store owner, singing this song.
Today.
What is it?
This is called a scrumdiddlyumptious bar.
Scrumdiddlyumptious bar? How does he do it?
My dear boy, do you ask a fish how it swims?
No.
Or a bird how it flies?
No.
No, sirree, you don't. They do it because they were born to do it. Just like Willy Wonka was born to be a candy man, and you look like you were born to be a wonkerer. Who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it in chocolate and a miracle or two? The Candyman. The Candyman can. The Candyman can. Posse mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Who can take a rainbow, wrap it in a sigh, soak it in the sun and make a strawberry lemon pie?
The Candyman.
The Candyman. The Candyman can. The Candyman can. 'Cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
That was great and just amazing. And I remember, you know, sitting with my mom watching this. And
that's such a great memory.
Yeah.
That is a great memory.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, because I love the Aubrey Woods, but I was, you know, on Wikipedia looking it up. And Anthony Newley, who wrote the lyrics to it, did not like his version of it, this Aubrey Woods. You know, he tried to redo it, tried to have someone else do it. And I guess contractually, he couldn't have it redone by anyone. So that's the version we have. And that's the version I love. Of course, Sammy Davis Jr. did the song, who also hated the song, thought it was too bubblegummy.
Yeah.
But it went to number one. That was his only number one hit, was Sammy Davis Jr.'s Candyman.
Is that true? Wow.
Yeah.
So what year did the movie come out?
Candyman came out, I think, like 72?
And the song was written? Like the song was written?
The song was written specifically for the movie.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm sure I saw movies earlier before then, but this was the one where I was like conscious.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is something. You know, I still remember sitting in the theater and watching this. Like, this is just wide-eyed and like, this is so amazing.
Well, that could not be more appropriate for this episode.
Yeah.
Good choices. And I see why there's no crossover in the
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I think these also tell a lot about our parents, our moms.
I think so. Definitely. All right. Passing it on. Pass the mic.
Okay. Well, so this one I'm going with. So I have told you previously how much my mother loves my husband, loved my husband. I joke that I think she liked him more than she liked me. And they had a very, very special bond.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So my parents, but specifically my mom, would ask him, as we know, he's a huge Rush fan, to make him a CD back in the day of Rush songs, of of his favorite Rush songs and also Rush songs that he thought they would like. And
that's a good challenge.
Yeah. Well, it was a great challenge.
Right.
Yeah.
Knowing Rush music and knowing parents, but although your parents were a little progressive, you know, they like Fleetwood Mac and Eagles and, you know, so.
But they love music. They're music lovers.
Okay. But Rush is a different beast altogether.
Yes.
So that's a good challenge. Okay. Yeah.
And she would listen to any CD he made for her. She would listen to everything.
Okay.
Everything.
So he made a playlist. So he took this challenge. I'm sure, as I know Steve, he takes it seriously.
Yes.
He wants to do it right. Put a lot of thought into this.
And not just the thought into it, but then he wants to explain, you know, what every song is about. And my parents listened raptly.
Nice.
If that's a word. Yeah. So there, my mom's favorite song, I believe there were a few songs, but I think her favorite one that had the most impact on her, which I don't even know if you would know this song because it was from the album Roll the Bones. The song is called Bravado.
Okay.
Do you know the song?
I've heard the song. I can't think of it offhand.
It's a complex song, but I think it's some of the symbolism. There's Greek mythology in the lyrics, of course, you know. Something super intellectual. No, there's a, you know, we burn our wings flying too close to the sun. They say is a reference to Icarus, the hero who made wings out of wax.
Wax, yeah.
Yeah.
We all know that. Yeah, you know that story. But those Greek stories.
Yeah. I didn't then, but I do now. I appreciate them more. He, you know, Neil Peart, who writes the lyrics, he used it metaphorically for flaming out, like not living up to your own expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother, I think she just really appreciated the lyrics and musically. I mean, listen to it. It's a really good song. It's a beautiful song.
If we burn our wings. sun. If the moment of glory is over before it's begun, if the dream is won, though everything is lost, we will pay the price, but we will not count the cost. We will pay the price, but we will not count the cost. When the dust has cleared and victory, summit too lofty, river a little too wide. If we keep our pride, though paradise is lost, we will pay the price, but we will not count.
Just hearing it, which is not that often anymore, makes me think of her, because that was the one, you know, she would always pick out her favorites.
That's nice. Based on what you told me, I think a lot of people see that in themselves, like trying to do so much and, you know, you do as much as you can.
Yeah.
And maybe not succeeding a lot of times.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people see, you know, we're all fallible.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mine isn't as different. Yeah, completely different. Back to 70s AM radio. This was one of the first songs I think that I remember my mom singing all the time to me, or, you know, like she thought it was
appropriate.
And it was. Because it was actually a child singing the chorus, and it's a one hit wonder by Clint Holmes. The song is called "Playground in My Mind." Once I sing the chorus, you'll probably go okay. Oh yeah. And it's sung by this 7-year-old kid who is Philip Vance, the producer, 7-year-old son of producer Paul Vance. Or the chorus goes, "My name is Michael. I've got a nickel, shiny and new. I'm going to buy me all kinds of candy. That's what I'm going to do." You will hear it and go, oh, because I'm, of course, no musical talent whatsoever. However,
I thought you did great.
Thank you. I remember my mom singing that in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of, you know, this guy, Clint Holmes, and the song was just kind of him reminiscing about old times and things.
This old world gets me down, and there's no love to be found. I close my eyes and soon I find I'm in a playground in my mind, where the children laugh and the children play and we sing a song.
A 7-year-old, I was, you know, around that age.
Yeah.
So it kind of bonded us together.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it made it up to number 2 in 1973.
Okay, we're going to have some more mother talk, but first, let's go for some milk and cookies, and we'll be right back.
To the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our special Mother's Day episode.
We seem to be playing a lot of songs from the 70s, and for you, just all over the place.
I realize that you are continuing on with the same theme because you're a dad, and therefore,
yes,
this is not necessarily your holiday, but I'm switching up the theme.
All right, we're coming from different perspectives.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm changing my theme up a little bit, and I'm going to talk about some of the songs that I have felt compelled to thrust upon my own children.
Okay.
And I insist that they have an appreciation for these songs.
That's the best way to get through to kids. It's just to force it through them.
You must like this song.
Oh,
well,
this is medicine, and you will take it and you will enjoy it. It's going to make you a better person.
As it happens, they like these songs for a variety of reasons. The first one they like because they like to make fun of me. Because this is a song, it's another one I sing at the top of my lungs, which I also do when they're in the car with me. As I got a little older, they would turn it down so I wouldn't sing because I also do not have a good voice. Do not have a good singing voice at all. But the song is from 1972. It's Carly Simon, You're So Vain, from the album No Secrets. I love the song. I love the song so much. I love the vibe of this song. And of course, back in the day when it was released, I had no idea, you know, what it meant. I was singing the words. I had no idea. And all the controversy since about what, you know, and my kids know nothing about the lyrics. They don't know. I mean, they may know she was married to James Taylor, but that's probably the extent of it. They don't know the controversy and, you know, how we, you know, tried for so many years to find out who the song was about. And I don't know, maybe we do now or maybe we don't. But my kids know nothing about that. They just know that this song I love, and it, I know that it makes them happy. I know they do it in good fun, you know, to poke fun at me.
Why do you love this song so much?
I think the lyrics are clever. I just enjoy them. I like the story it tells. It's not a happy story, but I like the story it tells. You know, it's a little sad for her. I liked guessing, you know, in my older years, guessing, trying to guess who it was about. Discovering Mick Jagger singing the backup vocals was a pretty cool thing.
Oh, you never knew that?
Not when I was younger, no.
That's why I always thought it was Mick Jagger. I thought it was kind of clever, yeah. Like Mick Jagger would be singing background vocals to You're So Vain.
To a song that he's about?
Yeah.
That is about him.
That would be,
he's about.
That's so meta.
Yeah. So meta. I don't think it's that deep.
Okay.
It's just one of those super singable, see, that's kind of shallow of me too. It's a super singable song to me.
You think this song is about you?
So do you know who it's about?
The other person was supposed to be Warren Beatty, but I would think just one of those two is who I think it was about, but I do not know. I think someone paid some money to at an auction, Carly told this one person who the song was about.
This was a charity auction. The winning bidder was Dick Ebersol, who was president of NBC Sports at the time. He paid $50,000. He had to sign a confidentiality agreement, but he was allowed to give one hint that the man's name contains the letter E.
Okay.
And it also, over the next few years, Carly Simon further revealed that there's also an A and an R in the name.
So it's not Warren Beatty.
It is not Warren Beatty. It's also, there was also speculation that it was about David Geffen because his name is whispered during the song. I don't know if you know.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
But there's not an R in Geffen.
No, it's not. She says it's not about him.
She whispers the song. Now I got.
Yeah, now you have to listen to it again. Yeah. I know. I find a lot of different things. I mean, like when I discovered Mick Jagger. She also, she said for a long time that it was not just about one person, that it was sort of an amalgamation.
Okay.
Yeah. I just find it immensely singable. I like the lyric. I mean, the lyrics, it's a, you know, a sad song for her. I think the lyrics are very...
No, it's great.
Yeah.
Great vocal performance. I'm a huge Carly Simon fan. I love her work. Voice and, yeah, the songs she's had. And there's a book called Girls Like Us, which follows Carole King, Joni Mitchell, and Carly Simon. And there was supposed to be a movie about that book, but I don't know what's going on with that.
No, I didn't.
But
I,
yeah, it's a good read.
Okay.
Just learning all about Carly Simon and, you know, her relationship with, I mean, you know, she was kind of like Stevie Nicks. I would put her in there, like, you know, just kind of this, kind not necessarily mysterious, but just intriguing, something about her.
That, totally.
Yeah.
And the peach, I mean, the story, you could, I mean,
also
I read,
beautiful, too.
Yes, in a unique, not a traditionally beautiful way.
I mean, she looked like she had, like Mick Jagger. She had, you know, the full lips. And
yeah.
Like a female version of Jagger.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. So, do you know that she originally started recording this with Harry Nilsson singing backup, but Mick Jagger ended up singing on it instead?
Better choice.
Yeah, and he actually, when Harry Nilsson realized that they had better, you know, chemistry for this, he backed out. He backed off.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. I don't know, there's just something, this will be, one of my top all-time favorite songs.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And the kids love it. Or they tolerate it.
I don't know if the kids love it, but I know, should my kids ever talk about Mother's Day later on in their lives, that they will always associate this song with me. This will be one of those that they remember me for.
When they have their own podcast.
Yes.
Or whatever is happening 20 years down the road from now.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yes. So, yeah. So I can't say it's one of their favorite songs musically, but they definitely have an appreciation for it because of me.
Nice.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah. And you got another mother-y song?
Yeah. Okay. This one comes from 1975. Again, we're not blessed with any sort of talent at all. But my mom did like to dance.
Oh.
Just, do a little thing she liked. And she
do a little dance.
Do a little dance. She liked tap dancing, and she, she took classes, just kind of,
That's so cool.
Yeah, so she enjoyed that immensely. So she gravitated to when Chorus Line came out, and she, we played the music a lot. I heard that a lot, and so our first, probably in 1982, I don't know, it was the early 80s. We went to New York, and we got to see Chorus Line. And so that was super exciting.
That's a fun show.
Yes, still is.
Yeah.
Great story, mm-hmm. told well. The song One is just amazing.
One singular sensation, every little step she takes. One thrilling combination, every move that she makes. One smile and suddenly nobody else will do. You know you'll never be lonely with you know who. One moment in her presence and you can't forget the rest. For the girl a second best to none.
Great. And just to, my mom was just so happy to be, be in the presence of this production and, in New York. We're on, I think my parents' first time to New York also.
Oh, wow.
Might have been. We're all experiencing New York for the first time. We go see this Broadway show.
Chorus, oh, my God.
Chorus Line. So, yeah, that was wonderful. So, yes, whenever I hear the song One, of course, I think of my mom and,
That's nice.
We're trying to dance.
dance?
No, not at all.
Privacy of your own home?
Yeah, never took formal lessons. No, I'm just naturally gifted. It's just, it's a curse.
We're going to post a video of you dancing.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You never know when I may catch you.
Yeah, well, that's true.
In the act.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what do you got?
Okay, I'm doing a 2-for-1.
Okay, go ahead.
With a band that... both Steve and I have imparted on our children, and they actually do love this band, Live. The
band is called Live.
Yes. And it's funny, I did speak to both my kids when we decided to do this episode, and I was kind of talking to them about the songs that I was going to use, and actually gave them a little input, with their reasons, mm-hmm. So they both love the album Throwing Copper, which is more than 20 years old now, but they liked two different songs from it. Chelsea picked All Over You. Do you know? Are you familiar with the band Live? I mean, these are both hits.
I am. That's the same. Yeah. Yes.
It's not Selling the Drama. That was their first hit.
Right.
First.
I do remember that song. That's a good one.
It's great. Good. They're both, another flawless album.
You love this.
Yes. And Sam would choose Lightning Crashes, which I'm sure you know.
Yes. Yeah. Both of those were singles, so I know those songs. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with the complete album, but those are good stuff.
You might like the album. This to me is another flaw. It is a flawless album.
Lightning Crashes really isn't a good Mother's Day song.
No, but most people think they know what the song is about. Sorry, I'm pointing
again. Okay, so please enlighten me.
So they dedicated to this one of their high school friends was killed by a drunk driver around the time the song was written. So they didn't write it about her, but they dedicated it to her. The lyrics are mostly an analogy. So she donated several organs, including her heart. So it looks like when you're watching the video and when you're listening to the song that is speaking about the circle of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is how it is to me. But this, you know, after I guess the song took on new meaning because it's specifically about how Barb's life gave new life to a lot of people. The angel, the baby down the hall, the pale blue eyes. Barb had blue eyes, the pain and the confusion. The lyrics are wholly Ed's interpretation of his experience and perception of Barb's impact.
Lightning crashes, oh mother cries. This moment she's been waiting for.
I don't even know if I could pick a favorite song from this album, but I do love these two. And my kids, these are the ones they picked. And you got another mothery song?
All right. So besides being a horrible singer and not the greatest dancer, she was also a horrible driver. And this is no exaggeration. She hated to drive, too. Hated. Drove in fear of her life. Yes, exactly.
Did you know this from the time you were a little kid?
Not really until I got older, fortunately. But I knew she never wanted to go on the freeways.
Okay.
So we never went on freeways. And, she was the type who would go through an intersection and brake because, you know, there were other cars. You know, there might be another car.
She's afraid that a car was going to come.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
There was always something. You know, cars were always. Meanwhile, cars are crashing behind her because they're, you know, she's going, you know, she never.
I know exactly the kind of
driver
you're talking about.
She would only go 35 miles, you know, 35 miles an hour was probably the maximum she would go. It was insanity. That was my mom driving.
Oh, God.
And. I live to tell about it, fortunately. Yeah. But she's,
so how bad could she have been?
She was exactly. She got me here.
I can't wait to hear this connection.
Well, no. The connection was there was musicals, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned these a few times. So Broadway show Annie came to the Schubert Theater.
Oh.
Schubert Theater's in
Century City.
We lived in Canoga Park.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure about it. I mean, my vague memory is we did not, because my mom didn't want to drive out there, and it was a matinee, so my dad was working. So we took the bus from Canoga Park to Century.
There's 2 hours.
Pretty much. I think we left early, you know, like it's for this 1 o'clock screen.
For reference for the audience, that should it's about 25 miles.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the bus, though, you have to go. I mean,
right.
I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, we had to go down Roscoe and then up Sepulveda. I'm sure my mom mapped it. You know, she got us there.
How practical.
We made it on time.
Yeah.
But she wanted my sister and I to see Annie.
It's a hard knock life for us. It's a hard knock life for us.
Instead of treated,
we get tricked.
Instead of kisses,
we
Did you like it?
I think I remember liking it. I liked it. Of course. And then with daughters, they end up going to a theater camp, and they're, of course, it's like everyone has to
the premiere Annie.
Everyone has to do their own version of Annie. I'm tired of it by now. But at the time, back, you know, it just started out. It was like 77, I think. it's the hard knock life is what we were living, which is why. So that's why I chose Hard Knock Life, is taking the bus to the Schubert Theater in Century City and seeing that that show. Of course, she also dressed us up because, you know, you're going to the theater.
Yeah.
You know, you got to class it up. Not like now where, you know, you go to the Pantages, there's people wearing shorts.
I know. I do think you should dress not fancy. You don't have to wear a suit, but don't you feel like you should look nice for the theater?
Always.
Yeah.
I always, whenever, and yeah, to this day, and you know, as an honor to honor my mom, you know, I dress up as nice.
That's really
nice. Not necessarily suit up, but I'm never going to slum it.
Yeah.
We live a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock life.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
So I feel like I'm getting to know a little bit about your mom through this, and I think this is so cool.
Yes. No, horrible. Yes, exactly.
Horrible dancer, singer, driver.
Yes, all of the above.
But she did them all.
Yes.
Which is awesome and says a lot about her character.
True. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so.
And she gave you something to talk about.
Yes. Thank goodness. Now we got this podcast. She knew, like, one day you will have a podcast and you will talk about me.
Fondly.
Fondly. Yeah, indeed.
Okay, this is my only 80s song.
Yay, 80s.
Yay. This is Sweet Child of Mine from Guns N' Roses, from Appetite for Destruction.
Oh, my.
1987.
Moms love that.
Yeah, you know what? I am so sick of this song. I've loved this song forever.
It's your ringtone.
It is my ringtone, which every time it rings, I say, I got to change this. And it's been years. I saw Guns N' Roses back in the day when they played at the Troubadour. So I've been, you know, as a fan, been through the ups and downs, became much less of a fan. Sam became a Guns N' Roses fan for a short time. So I know he liked the song. He's over it now. Chelsea will tell you, not a fan of Guns N' Roses, but she really likes this song.
Mm.
And she wanted me to make sure that I had it on my list.
Well, I'm glad it is.
Yes. This song went to number one here. I guess that seems obvious.
Yeah. I mean, it was all over MTV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great video. It's a sweet song. And actually, I mean, it could be a lullaby. I could picture it like a lullaby version of that song, something you would sing to your kids, or, you know, you play an instrumental version of that to the kids.
Now I need lyrics to sing with.
Yeah. Really wonderful song.
It's
all around. I mean, it's something that, you know, anyone can cover it.
Have you heard Sheryl Crow's version? It is fabulous. You must listen to it.
Okay.
He's got a smile that seems to me reminds me of childhood memories. But everything was as fresh as a bright blue sky. Now and then when I see his face, it takes me away to that special place. And if I stay too long, I'll probably break down and cry.
My favorite is, I think I played it for you, from Step Brothers. Adam Scott singing that song and with the family and the car. Yes.
Yeah.
That's my favorite version.
1, 2, 3, 4. Bum.
She's got a smile that it seems to me reminds me of childhood memories. Where everything was as fresh as a bright blue sky.
All right, Tommy, you're the oldest. I'm counting on you. Come on.
She's got eyes of the bluest skies as if they thought of rain. I hate to look into those eyes and see an eye.
Nice vibrato, buddy. All right, Alice, let's go.
That reminds me of a warm, safe
place. Flat. It's so flat. I don't even know. You don't even look good while you're singing. The worst thing I've ever heard. This is $1,200 a week for voice lessons, and this is what I get? Okay, I'm going to save it with the solo.
Bow, bow, I'm dead. And I can sing high like this. And I can sing high.
Oh, Jesus!
Oh, sweet love of mine.
It also was featured near the end of the movie from 2008, The Wrestler. It was when Mickey Rourke, when his character makes his entrance into the boxing ring. He, Axel, and Mickey Rourke are friends. So Axel allowed, basically gave him the song for this film for almost nothing.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually seems pretty charitable.
But that's, yeah.
I don't know that. I shouldn't say that. He probably is.
Yeah, that song, though, doesn't get old. I'm not tired of that song. Yeah. I could hear it now and still get something new out of it.
All right.
All right. Again, we're going back and forth.
We got more show tunes for me?
Up and down, up and down. Sort of. This ties in a little of everything. So my mom's probably favorite actor from the 70s, John Travolta.
Vinnie Barbarino?
Not Vinnie Barbarino, but her favorite movie. She loved Saturday Night Fever. Just loved his dancing and just loved that movie.
Yeah. So she's broad.
And she loved, I think she liked, I'm sure she loved Urban Cowboy too.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember the whole family going to see Grease. And so that was.
Oi.
What?
Was that appropriate for the whole family to go?
Yes, it was back in the 70s. It was appropriate. Of course, it isn't now. You know, when you look back at lyric, it was something. And I remember watching this movie. All of it went over my head.
Yes.
I still remember to this day, like, Stalker Channing going, "I'm not pregnant." I'm like, who said she was pregnant?
Why would you be?
Why would you be pregnant? What? I'm sorry. What? Did I miss something?
Yes. Yes, you did. As a 15-year-old?
No.
Sixth grade. Sixth grade, probably.
70, yeah. 12? Oh, I was 12.
Yeah.
Still naive. Had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, it broke. Had no idea what that meant. What was going on.
Yes.
I feel like a broken typewriter. What does that mean? I skipped a period.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Oh, wow.
I've seen this movie many times. So anyway, all this stuff, all these throwaway lines I miss. But of course, I still get a kick out of when they were singing the song Summer Nights. And I love, my mom just got the, I still remember her laughing and just because, it's about the 50s.
Yeah.
This was her child. This was her adolescence. Yeah. And, so both my parents are just loving this movie.
That's so cool.
It's just fun. Yeah. And we love the musicals. And so, this was like family night. This was a rare movie that we can all share together.
Olivia.
John Travolta's combing his hair and kind of strutting down, just doing all those moves. And Summer Nights is always has a warm spot in my heart.
Summer loving had me a blast.
I too love it. I did not see it with my parents. I saw it with friends probably 20 times. But you think about the lyrics to that song. Tell me more, did she put up a fight?
Yeah, I know.
Think of what that means now as opposed to, listening to it then.
Yeah.
No,
there's a lot going on. There's a lot of reference, but it was it's high school appropriate, I guess.
In the 50s.
Right. In the 80s. Up for a while it was, and all of a sudden, we have kids like, oh no, this is not, but I still show, my girls love it.
Yeah. I don't know if my kids have, of course, I don't think my kids have seen it.
Oh, my God.
I know. Derelict right. in my duties.
I'm sorry. As a Mother's Day gift, you should sit them down and
good idea. You must watch Grease with me.
Yeah. Because again, kids love it when you force feed them stuff.
Yes. Good choice. I love your mom's.
My favorite. Yes, always my mom's favorite. And still, from Saturday Night Fever, I don't know if I've ever talked, I always, like when I started drinking, it was always a 7 and 7 because that's what John Travolta drank in Saturday Night Fever. So yeah, so in honor of Tony Manero, I used to drink the 7 and 7. And then of course, shout out to Danny Zuko.
Yes. And what was Olivia Newton-John's name?
Sandy.
Sandy, duh.
I don't remember her last name. It was just Danny and Sandy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Olivia Newton-John.
Yes.
Nice job. Plus, they were all 30 back then, too.
I know. And we just totally accepted it.
Just accepted it. That's fine.
Jeff Conway, I think he was even older.
No, Stalker Channing was the oldest. She was super old. I mean, super old, meaning 30.
Older than
32.
Yes.
Something like that.
Which is super young now.
Yeah.
think I would have loved your mom. I think she must have been really interesting.
Yes. Oh, yes. She had a lot of interest, and I carry on that to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moms rock. Miss her.
Yeah, moms do rock. Yeah. Good app.
On that happy note. Well, it is happy. I mean, it's definitely music.
Yeah.
And it's very evocative.
It shapes us, our families, mm-hmm. and shapes us individually. It's wonderful.
Yes. And just shout out to the moms again.
Shout out to, yes. Love you. Love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom. So happy Mother's Day, moms.
Yes. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Holly.
Thank you very much. And happy Mother's Day to Janice.
Indeed. I will we'll pass that along. I'm sure she's listening. Happy Mother's Day, Janice.
Happy Mother's Day, Janice. And thanks for listening. Mother's Day Spectacular on What Difference Does It Make?
That's right.
We're doing some wonderful things with the What Difference Does It Make podcast. What are we doing, Holly?
We are. We're doing some stuff on Facebook at WDDIM Podcast and on Instagram and Twitter at WDDIM Podcast. And also remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we are doing some really fun things on YouTube, some excerpts, some behind-the-scenes stuff. So check us out.
Reviews are also good. Apple, if you can give us 5 stars. Wonderful. Love it. We love you forever.
Okay, so until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.